This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air, Linda Cohen along with you. Electronic health records. Well, they're now the norm in hospitals and healthcare delivery systems throughout most of this country, and they bring with them many efficiencies and benefits to the healthcare systems and the healthcare deliverers. Well, here with more on what they also offer to patients themselves is Dr. Neil Seidberg. He's an associate professor of pediatrics and emergency medicine, and he's the chief medical informatics officer, or the head geek, as he likes to say, for Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Seidberg. Thanks for coming in. Thank you. It's fun to be here. So let's help us understand these electronic medical records, electronic health records. They have different names. They're the norm these days, I guess. And seems like gone are the days of the paper chart. Tell us about that.
Well, I think this is a journey that began a number of years ago to try and move records into a place where they were more easily and more globally accessible within hospitals and ultimately across the hospital system. We began our journey to this about 10 years ago now, with moving orders, for example, online, at a time that hospitals were just starting to make lab results available. So as we've progressed through the years, we like many other hospitals are moving to a point where we're able to provide some efficiencies into the system by making records and information available wherever the physician and wherever the patient might be within the system.
Was it an odd transformation for you? I mean, you were here long before all of this began. I mean, I'm not dating you, but you've been at Upstate a while, and you've seen the transition from paper charts to this. Was it odd, difficult?
You know, it's an interesting transition. When I was a medical student, it was still in the times where a lot of other hospitals, this hospital had started putting lab results online, but a lot of other hospitals were still in the days of when you wanted to get a lab result, you had to send the medical student down to the lab to actually retrieve a slip of paper. So rather than staying on the floors where the patients were, they were running around to get slips. To get x-rays or to view x-rays or get results, they would have to leave the floors and go down to a radiology department and wait for some kind person to pull the films from a back room and put them onto a board where you could look at them and look for someone to give you an interpretation. Over the last decade, things have moved where now the radiology images, for example, are available from any computer terminal located throughout the hospital or on people's portable devices. Lab results are available the moment they come back. And orders for patients, which used to require finding a chart, putting them in paper, having a nurse find that you put them in paper, transmit them to one of a dozen other people, now works in a much more streamlined place where if I think about an order that needs to be done for a patient, it can occur at that moment from wherever I happen to be sitting. I don't have to remember to go back down and find something where that patient might be.
So this whole notion of efficiency and rapidity, I guess, in terms of retrieval of information seems to be the high point of it all.
I think the efficiency cuts both ways with an electronic medical record. I think up front, you'll find that there's some frustration amongst providers that they have to spend some increased amount of time in the hospital putting in some of the information. But the efficiency on the backside to the patient is where we've really seen the gains. So, for example, from our electronic medical record, one of the things that we noticed right up front was that x-rays, step portable x-rays, which typically took more than an hour to get in an old paper system, were occurring in 10 or 20 minutes. We cut half the time out of that. We saw medications which had a goal of being delivered within an hour, and in many hospitals weren't delivered within 5 to 6 hours. We were seeing them available on the floors in 15 to 20 minutes. So the efficiencies up front may not have been as dramatic as perhaps people had hoped, but the overall efficiency of the system, and most importantly to me, the efficiency to the patients are where we really saw things start to improve as we've implemented our systems.
How about the intercommunication between providers? I mean, have you seen that also improve as a result of the increased access or the efficient access to information?
So I find myself as a champion of electronic medical records, and I think they can do a lot of good things. But I do caution all of our users that they are a tool. And like any tool, they have to be used in the right way. And I'm still a very strong believer of picking up the phone and calling my colleagues and having a conversation, because I certainly believe there are nuances of conversation that just can't be captured in an EMR electronically, or frankly, even on paper with pen and paper. So I don't think any of those pieces go away. But I do think there are some things where there are definite communications improvements. An example is we've recently rolled out our electronic medical record across our ambulatory systems. And where we've seen communications improve are, for example, in things like a common problem list. So in the past, if I went to a cardiologist, he might have had a list of cardiology problems that I might have had. And if I went to a rheumatologist, he may have had those two or three things on his list. Now when they open up the chart, they see the entire problem list and know all of the different issues that I might be on. Likewise, they have a list of all the medications I'm on, so they can better prescribe medications more safely, because they can take all of my experiences as a patient into effect, not just their small pieces.
So what you're saying is, again, depending on how the software is developed, it's kind of integrative. In other words, you can see a number of different specialists, but any of the findings that they find come together in the final so-called patient record, so that all of those things are reflected in one place.
Correct. I mean, I think the mantra we use here is one patient, one record. And the reasoning here is just that. So in the past, where everybody's records were kept in their office and they were distinct and inaccessible to other providers, now I can certainly read what the orthopedic person said about your hip fracture, or I can certainly read what the cardiologist was worried about directly in my office at the point that I have you in front of me.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here along with Dr. Neil Seidberg. He's Upstate's Chief Medical Informatics Officer, and we're talking about electronic health records and what they can offer to patients. So now getting right specifically to the patients themselves, you've rolled out a whole new patient accessibility system, this MyChart thing. Tell us about that. What is it?
So MyChart is a piece of our electronic medical record, and it's the forward-facing piece to the patient. When the patient is seen in one of our many offices, they're given now a paper summary of their visit on the way out, something we call an after-visit summary. And it has things on it that are useful, like the list of medications, how and when to take them, where to get prescriptions picked up, those sorts of things. But we also provide an electronic way to get access to your records whenever you need them, and this is what we call MyChart. MyChart gives the patient access to their records, so their medication list, what medicines they're on, when to take them, what doses. It tells them what we know their diagnosis and problem list to be. It has opportunities on there for other parts of the medical records to be available, such as lab results or radiology results for testing that was done within our system. It gives us the, for families, for example, the a father or mother, if a school required a vaccine record for their child, could just print it out from the system rather than having to go to their pediatrician's office or wait for the pediatrician's office to send it to them. So it gives all of that sort of thing.
So basically what you're saying is, I guess along with this notion of the freedom of information where people own their chart, so mm-hmm. to speak, but now electronically they can gain access through some kind of a patient portal or something with some safeguards in place with passwords and whatever. They can get in and they can look at their chart.
They can get in and see
and retrieve information.
Specific parts of their chart. They can't see everything in the chart, but they can see things like lab results, vaccines, medications, problem lists, and those sorts of things. And I think that giving patients that sort of information empowers patients to help begin to take control of their own care. And I think it helps them in other unique circumstances. For example, when a member of my family travels to Florida for vacation, should they get sick, they've got a big chunk of their medical record available to them that they can share with an emergency room, for example. So there isn't always the unknown of what had happened before, no matter where the patient happens.
So they can take it with them, so to speak.
Yes.
But you said there are some areas they can't access, and what's the reasoning there?
Well, there's certainly some things that we don't have available at this time. Some of them are just system limitations at this time. Some of them are more decision limitations. So I can see the summary of what my physician says are my problems. I can receive education about them. The physician can push education resources for me so I can learn about them. But what I can't see at the moment, for example, would be my provider's personal notes, the physician's notes that they might take during the visit.
And you're saying some of that is a system issue, and some of that is done because of a decision policy.
Some of them are decisions, and some of them are just to try and make sure that the patients are seeing the right sorts of information. It's not overwhelming amounts of information.
Yeah, that leads me to a lot of questions I have about access and about, we'll get to that in a minute, but tell me about emails. Is emails a part of this? In other words, would you have access through a patient portal to write to your physician and ask questions?
So email by itself, I think, is a slightly misleading term. Sending an email is something that we would worry about because of confidentiality issues. Certainly, if I were to send a patient an email, it lives on their server out there. It could be discovered by a family member, for example, who they didn't want to share something with, or someone else. Our communications are kept entirely within our walls and saved within our walls, such that you have to have the right security to get through. So there's communications in the system, but the communications stay within the system itself. Nothing is stored on anybody's devices outside the hospital. So you can, for example, use the system and send a request into your provider's office.
Yes.
To ask, I'm on this medicine. Can I take it before I drink orange juice in the morning? Likewise, you could also ask them for a refill and things along those
lines. So you do have that ability to communicate directly.
Yes.
How about the HIPAA concerns? How about the issue of danger of leaks? You were just alluding to that, mm-hmm. you have there are safeguards in place to protect this information. Do you feel secure? I mean, with all the things that have gone on with hackers and all of that throughout the electronic world these days, do you feel secure that this health information will be secure?
The nice part here is it's kept within the system, and the system itself is one that we're fairly confident in the corporation that's helped create the system, and that they test it regularly and make sure that the information isn't available to anybody other than those people who are responsible for looking.
And just in the very little time we have left, this whole issue of getting some information that might be troubling. I mean, lab data, which you may or may not have the ability to interpret. Do you worry about the patient's access to that?
That was always a worry coming up, but we've gotten to a point now where we do delay it by about 3 days and give your provider a chance to talk to you first. And we haven't found that to be a problem with our patients. It acts as a trigger to ask to where they'll call in and say, it's back, let's have a conversation about it. And really, that's what the electronic medical record is. It's a tool to start a conversation.
Well, it's obviously not going away, and it's obviously the thing to contend with these days for all of us as patients and physicians and what have you. But I thank you for laying it out. It sounds like you're really doing a wonderful job here getting this all up and running. Thanks so much for coming. My guest has been Dr. Neil Seidberg. He's Associate Professor of Pediatrics and Emergency Medicine and Upstate's Chief Medical Informatics Officer. Thanks so much, Neil.
It was a pleasure.
I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.